ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm David Marr, host of Late Night Live on ABC Radio National. For nearly 40 years, the show has been asking the best writers, thinkers, and provocateurs big questions about our changing world.
It's a power grab in advance.
But as institutions collapse, narcissists thrive.
And people were willing to take risks.
4 brand new episodes each week on the ABC Listen app.
When you want to know something, what's the first thing you do? If your instinctive answer is Google it, you're not alone. Each day the website gets billions of searches. But the answers that Google gives are starting to change. AI is taking the driver's seat, and it's having a massive impact on the information we see and don't see. I'm Siobhan Marin. This is Quick Smart, the show that feeds you big ideas in bite-sized pieces. How is AI affecting the way we search? Why does that pose a threat to journalism? And is anyone challenging the changes? Someone who's been keeping an eye on all things AI is technology reporter James Bertil. Hi, James. Welcome back to Quick Smart.
It's great to be here.
Now, we saw Google AI search summaries roll out earlier this year, and although you can opt out, it's really been thrust upon us. What impact has this had on our search habits?
This is a huge sort of sleeper story, and I think to get the scale of it, you need to go back decades. I mean, I grew up coding with HTML and doing that sort of thing when the open web basically was the internet, and Google came along, and it was kind of the sun that shone upon the web and allowed this ecosystem of information to grow. You can't really find your way around the web without Google, without this really sophisticated search engine.
We did have Ask Jeeves for a while, though.
Well, yeah, but we didn't after a while as well, because Google was just so much better, right? And I remember at the time, everyone was just like, this is amazing. It knows exactly what I'm looking for. And that sort of state lasted for about 20 years. And then in the last year, it's suddenly changed. So Google is shifting from being a search engine to being an answer engine. So it's going from providing those 10 blue links on its search page, and companies and organizations like the ABC compete to be at the very top of that ranking. So it's going from that to being an answer engine. So it's essentially providing an AI-generated answer in some form to your search query. And it's doing that through an AI that's trained on all of the content on the internet. So it's still trained on the open web, but it's to an extent replacing the open web.
Mm-mm. So it's scraping and synthesizing all that information, giving it to you in the summarized form, so you don't need to click on any links, right?
Yeah, so I get it. I get why Google is doing this, because I think users generally like the convenience of not having to click on links. And that shows up in studies that show if a user is provided an AI-generated summary, they're half as likely to click on a link, which is bad for the website in the search ranking, but it suggests that the user got what they wanted from the AI summary.
Now, there's also a thing called Google AI Mode. What exactly is that?
From October last year, AI Overviews was rolled out in Australia, but only really got up and running earlier this year. AI mode is a more advanced evolution of that. So it's a sort of self-contained chat bot that you can ask long questions to in an informal way and kind of natural language, and it will reply in an informal way, and you can ask follow-up questions. And essentially, the idea is, even though Google does link out to the websites, that you will get a more immersive and comprehensive answer engine experience in AI mode. So it only launched earlier this month, and it's expected to, I guess, continue Google's pivot from search engine to answer engine.
And how exactly is it affecting news sites, for instance?
There's this broad fear amongst the news industry that it's undermining the business model of journalism. Some data sources show that big news sites are having a 25% fall in traffic from Google. In the US and UK, Some sites have lost 50% of their traffic. Sites that focus more on lifestyle content and less on news are more susceptible to being replaced by AI summaries. And smaller sites that don't have that brand name, people don't necessarily go there to the site directly. They go there via Google. They're also more vulnerable. Just a little bit of like background here. The online journalism business model relies on traffic from two sources mainly, social media and Google. Google has been the steady, constant source of traffic to news sites. And that traffic converts into ad revenue, which converts into wages. So without that traffic, news sites just won't be able to employ as many people. They potentially won't be able to do as many stories or potentially have as many diverse voices as they do now. And the fear is that this is going to result in this big consolidation of power. And there might be a few really big news sites providing content to Google, but there won't be that sort of amazing diversity of voices that we have on the open web. And that really has been the promise of the open web for decades now.
Mm. You've also written about the impact of AI search results on small businesses. What sort of effect is it having?
A lot of businesses use this technique called content marketing to raise awareness of their brand and to get customers onto their website and convert them into sales. If you know a lot about shoes, you might write a blog about shoe sizes, different fittings and so on, and get people onto the site, and then you sell shoes on the site and it results in a sale. That traffic is no longer happening. Content marketing sites are perhaps the most affected by this change of any kind of website. I've spoken with people who've spent, you know, years of their life writing thousands of pages for their website, sharing their knowledge with the world, and they've seen 80% declines in traffic in the past year, coinciding with the rollout of AI overviews. And they say, yeah, even in AI overviews, like I can see my words. The summary is essentially using my words, but it's not linking to my page. The industry is scrambling just to understand what the hell is going on now.
Is anyone challenging the changes that Google is making to its search or answer engine?
At the heart of the issue for websites that don't want to be don't want to have their content scraped by Google and then used by AI for training is Google uses the same crawler for its search engine and its AI. So if you don't want your content to be used for training AI, it also means your content won't be visible to Google and the search engine, right? So you'll just be invisible. And that's the decision that a lot of publishers face. They say, well, we could block Google, but that means we just wouldn't appear in Google search at all. And so they are taking Google to court over this, saying you're abusing your market position. I mean, they have about 90% of the global search engine market. That's happening in the UK and in the EU. And also in the US, there's various complaints, legal complaints or court cases going on. In Australia, it's there isn't anything like that yet. Publishers have been quite quiet about this, and I think they're sort of waiting to see what happens.
On the one hand, we're seeing Google move towards AI, and on the other, ChatGPT's parent company, OpenAI, is launching its own search engine. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Google dominates the world searches, and that just this amazing advantage it has over all the other companies in the world. It can gather all this data. I mean, Google fields 14 billion searches every day, and no one has been able to crack that for years. It's a massive market, but Google just has a stranglehold. Now, OpenAI has come along with ChatGPT, and it's right at the front of the pack of AI companies, and it sees an opportunity to take on Google. What they're doing is they're launching a search browser that will take on Chrome, which is Google's product. And essentially, it'll mean when you type a search into the OpenAI browser called Atlas, you'll be using OpenAI's product to search rather than Google's.
I guess to hopefully end on a more positive note, what can we as users do if we want to cut back our AI searching?
I think the issue here is that like a couple of years ago, AI was a discrete product that you would use or you would not use. Now it's sort of embedded in increasingly everything. The ads that you're served are delivered to you by AI. They're targeted by AI. And increasingly the ad content itself will be generated by AI. So I think it's going to be really hard to opt out of this stuff. But there are if you just find the AI-generated search results really annoying, you can take some pretty easy steps, like get a new browser or get a plugin to block it.
Well, James, I'm absolutely certain that AI could never compete with your intelligence. Thank you so much for coming on Quick Smart.
Thank you, Siobhan.
Quick Smart was recorded on the lands of the Gadigal people. If you like this chat, send it to that friend who Googles everything. You might also enjoy or be severely spooked by our episode on why people are falling in love with AI chatbots. We'll put a link to that and James's articles in our show notes. Thanks to my producers, Jesse Kay and Salome Lines-Morrison. And if you have any feedback or want to send an AI-generated compliment, drop us a line at quick.smart@abc.net.au.